as a seer. Faith as a seer. 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us, we having the same spirit of faith according to as is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Now we said, notice that here in the Apostle Paul tells us that he just doesn't say I have it, but he says we have it. In other words, he's quoting from David in Psalms 116:10. I believe, therefore I have spoken, I was greatly afflicted in affliction. But the spirit of faith, as we said, does not work for people who don't want to do anything. You have the spirit of faith, and we've been talking about systematically the different aspects and different facets of faith that make up the entirety of the spirit of faith. Now, we got at least two more aspects we got to cover in the next 2 weeks, as the Lord directs, and maybe more. But we got to take all of these aspects and combine them. Sometimes our faith will have to operate as a this or as a that or as a over here, this way. The spirit of faith is for people who dare to believe God in the face of adversity, affliction, and facing adversaries. And as we shared last week, the spirit of faith will announce the outcome in the middle of, because we talked about faith as a speaker. Acts 27:25, Paul was speaking. He was on a boat, and he said, therefore, take heart, for I believe God. It will be just as it was told me. Now, he got a visitation by angel. The angel had a message or a word from God for Paul and for his future. And so he believed God and announced the outcome of that in the middle of that horrible hurricane. In the middle of that adversity, he announced that we're not going to lose our life, and God's going to give me everybody on this boat. And so he broke bread and ate in front of everybody, and everybody's heart got encouraged. Praise God. Amen. So in the midst of the hurricane, killer hurricane storm, Paul announced the outcome of the storm. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 through 10. We're going to read it out of the New Living Translation, because Paul was talking about the adversity that they were experiencing, and he was speaking their expectation based on the spirit of faith. He says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. So he didn't deny the facts. He just spoke the truth of what they were believing about the facts, that the facts were going to change. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Amen. That's a good confession, isn't it? We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Amen. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. So in the midst of adversities and affliction, the spirit of faith declares its outlook and outcome with Bible-based optimism. Amen. But let's take it a little further in this week and look at another aspect and facet of faith, faith as a seer. In other words, who and what does your faith see? Do you have clear faith vision and faith-filled foresight in the middle of your circumstance? Let's go down to verse 13 and through 18, the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 through 18. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, and so I spoke. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. So notice how the context of his praise and his proper focus. Verse 16, this is why we never give up. And everybody say that, I'll never give up. See, Pastor Hagin always used to say, I will not be what? Defeated, and I will not quit. That's what you need to say in the middle of it. That's the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith talking. He said, I'll never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Now, the King James says they are light afflictions and they are momentary. But how can our afflictions become light or small and momentary? What he says. He said, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. There's a lot to say about that, but we got to move on. And he says, verse 18, so we don't look at troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Now, notice the two choices. And he tells you, don't look at things you see now. And he tells us, fix our, what? Gaze on things we cannot see. So what are you looking at? What are you seeing? For things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. And as we shared in the previous weeks, the spirit of faith will function and deploy as a servant, as a soldier, as a shield, as a stance, and last week we shared as a speaker. And we're on our sixth sub-lesson under the Spirit of Faith series. So today, we're seer. We want to emphasize the point that of faith as a seer. So when we walk and live by faith, we look at things, and there are things we don't look at. We are not supposed to look at. Now, two big thoughts I want to share with you today that the Lord said convey to you, communicate to you, that we need to reflect on, receive today, is first, is our faith, what is our faith focused on? In other words, what is your faith seeing? Now, it was interesting, you know, during pre-service prayer, Pastor Cynthia was praying, and it reminded me when she came up to me and shared some things with me, but what Pastor Trinity had said, and some of the other people on the staff there when they were pastoring the church used to say, she would always walk around during prayer. What do you see? What are you seeing? Now, was he, you know, they were in the church building. They had chairs. They had an altar. They had a stage. It's easy to say, oh, I'm looking at this naturally. But she was trying to provoke faith, revelation of the heart. What do you see? Amen. So faith has vision. It's not with the eyesight, but it's with your faith foresight. Let us look at what Paul shares a little bit about here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. I'm going to read out of King James again. It says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it's not grievous. For you, it is safe. Giving us some safe and sound instruction right now. Listen to verse 2. Beware of dogs, number 1. Beware of evil, number 2. And beware of three. Now, he's telling us first and foremost in verse 1 that sincere Christians and genuine Christians rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now he's right in a prison cell, and he's captured as a prisoner. So if if we're in faith, if we have a spirit of faith, we will rejoice. We talked about that quite extensively. I think Mr. Bob Keller talked about that when he was here. Faith rejoices. Christians rejoice. We don't rejoice in the mess and the misery that we're going through. No, we rejoice in Christ and what he has done. His victory, his triumph, his blessings that he has provided for us. We rejoice in the Lord. Amen. But he tells us, beware of dogs. And see, dogs in that day were known for their malice against faithful professors of the gospel of Christ, barking at them and biting at them. Turn to someone and say, who's barking at you? Who's biting at you? So they're for their malice, malice is pain. And we always see some people fall in certain categories. They're either a gain, a drain, or they're a pain. Jesus, standing for gross national, it's standing for gains. People are gains. Some people are drains, and some people are pains. Praise God. All right. So the desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another, or the intent to commit an unlawful act or cause harm without legal justification or excuse. They just don't have any reason. They just want to come up and be a mischievous or conduct some level of misconduct towards you. And in this case, it's to prevent doing and serving the gospel. They are in opposition to the faith in Christ because, therefore, they're called them evil workers. He said, beware of dogs and beware of evil workers, people that actually go against faith and tell you to go back to religious tradition and work human works outside of faith. He said, beware of concision. Concision is just simply a word that means that because they try to rent the church of Christ into pieces. They cut, they're cutters. We know people today in certain age groups, they have experienced a harmful habit of cutting. But some people have a spiritual habit of cutting. Amen. They're not trying to be constructive, they're being destructive. They all got to be the naysayers or the negators of faith and love and hope. That's why they call it incision, because they cut. That's where we get the word circumcision from. They try to cut up in church. They try to cut up Christian community. They try to cut up the cause that everyone's to come together around. They cut up. Say, you're preaching real good, Pastor. He said, for we are the circumcision with works of God in the Spirit. That's who we are, and rejoice in who? Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So all three of those individuals exercise a level of confidence in their flesh. Their human natural talent, their prowess, their expertise, their education, their experience. And a lot of times people base or filter the Bible through their experiences and not the Bible filtered through truth and righteousness. That's why he tells us we have to rightly divide the word of truth. So some people say, well, I never been blessed. I never got healed when I prayed. God never answered my prayer. So what do? They're negators. They're naysayers. They create their own rules. All right. right? Praise the Lord. Instead of rejoicing over the one victory, they bring up the nine other victories they didn't win. Well, praise the Lord. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, he said, in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, so all of my, he's listing his resume that lists his what? Experience, his education, his expertise, and his exemplary record of religion. And he's saying, all of that, I put it in a loss category. That means loss, the Greek word there means liability. That means if I lean on my experience, my expertise, my education, my ethnicity, my exemplary religious record, then I'm going to be a liability. It's going to be a liability for me. I count learning Christ and faith in Christ a gain for me. That means this is profitable, this is not profitable. And some people get so proud of their experience, their ethnicity, they're proud of being skin color. Because that's all they see. Proud of their title. Proud of their job. Pride will destroy you. So he said, those things I count for loss. So Paul was saying, I got a better resume than any of these guys that are trying to cut you, that are trying to control you. He's saying, I got a better resume, but I am putting that aside for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things for loss, there's that word again, a liability, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I suffered the loss, there it is again, of all things, and count them but dung. In other words, in comparison to Christ, it's like cow caca, cow poop, that I may win Christ and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness of the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God which is by what? Faith. That I may know him. There it goes again. It starts with him. Starts with Jesus. Starts with our relationship with him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if I by any means might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived or got everything I was supposed to get in Christ, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we said the Christian believer who longs to finish well, because we got less than 2 months the rest of this year, and to turn into 2021 by the grace of God. Amen. But we need three things. We need to cultivate three things. One, the discipline of focus, which is striving for the single goal, the one thing, until its completion, undeterred by the obstacles or the taunts of the crowd. That means you can't let people or problems break your focus. People let pressure and problems and people break their focus. The discipline of focus is needed. Your faith needs to see its next goal or target. Two, the discipline of forgetting. Now, forgetting means describes something that is obsolete, assigned to oblivion. And we've always said the devil never challenges you about last time. He always challenges you about this time. And we've said it before, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. But if you don't forget those things behind, you never can go forward to the things that are in front of you or right before you. What the discipline of forgetting is basically refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by the past. Some people think, I've got so much experience, I've got expertise, I can just come in casual. I can just do this casually. I can do this with my eyes blindfolded and with one hand tied behind my neck. What tells me is they haven't forgot that they need to have a fresh focus, a fresh revelation. They need to have a fresh revival spirit in their heart. Somebody say glory to God. You got to forget about the last revival, the last time I shouted. You got to shout today. You got to come in the presence of God today. You got to bring your A game today. You can't take days off because they said, well, I got a winning streak of 5 in a row. I did perfect service for 5 weeks in a row. No, you got to go to the next service with your A game. We get so apathetic and casual that we stop caring about the future. Because we're carrying our successes of the past. Number three, the discipline of following. So that means we intensely pursue the calling of the Christian life until victory has been won. We are focused because we focus as a choice. He said, this one thing I do. So if we went around, took a survey online, those of you online or those of you in person here, what is your one thing you're focused on? Don't give me 10. Because the things of God are simple and clear. That means our focus should be simple and clear. Focus is a choice. See, Paul got to where he was going because he was focused on the goal in faith. He didn't just wander around without any plan or any purpose. His eyes was focus. Now, one of the things Pastor Cynthia and I are doing to step up our game, so to speak, in ministry leadership, we're practicing and learning how to look back, but then look ahead. Why do you look back? To learn. To learn from your mistakes and your successes. Why do you look ahead? Because you need to be futuristic in your focus. Amen. So don't let the battle make you lose focus of where you're going and what you're supposed to be doing. 1 Corinthians 7:20 and 24, New King James, it says, let each one remain in the same calling for which he is called. Remain where you're called. Focus on now. Like we say, when you're in the room, be in the room. And when you're in the meeting, be in the meeting. When it's time to worship, be a worshiper and be worshiping. When you're supposed to be praying, be in prayer and be a prayer. Because some people say, well, I'm praising God, but I'm thinking about lunch. We're going to cook for dinner. No, you're not focused. That's why we tell people, you can jump online, but be in the church. If you're online, then you don't just run to the kitchen and do dishes and laundry. You get your Bible out. You get your notebook out. You get in focus. Amen? He said, brethren, let each one remains with God in the state in which he was called. Verse 24. Stay where God places you. And stay focused and faithful where God has placed you. Usually, as one minister said, number one reason people fail is broken focus. Just because of a little financial challenge or just because of a physical challenge, they break focus. And when you break focus, you cannot be faithful. But if you can focus, you can learn to stay, be faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ said it in Matthew 6:22. Listen to this. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. Now your eye should be single. That means, what am I focusing on? If I have multiple focuses, then I am broken in my focus. We got to stay in our lane, stay on your mission, and keep the main thing in your life. Amen. How successful we become in life will be determined by how much we stay focused where we belong. Somebody say, glory to God. So if you're not futuristic in your approach, you cannot earn a future. I remember Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, David Paul Yonggi Cho, said this. He said, show me your vision and I'll show you your future. And then he turned around and said, if you don't have any vision, you're telling me that you don't have any meaningful future. Simply put, who and what are you focused and looking at? What's in your optics? What is your perspective? What is your outlook right now? Is your faith focused and fixed on the temporary? Paul said we're not supposed to look at that. Or the eternal truths of God's word and his will for your life. When Dr. Cho would minister to the sick, even people in wheelchairs, he would get his Bible out, turn to 1 Peter 2:24, put it in their lap, and say, read it. And he'd stand there. And he'd say, read it again. What? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, read it again. Read it again. And then about five or six times in, he would say, what do you see? Pastor, I don't know what I see. They're not seeing clear. Because when you're focused, you see yourself healed. Amen. You see yourself prosperous. Amen. You see yourself coming through that trial or that trouble and that circumstance. You see yourself in victory, triumph, and with blessings. Amen. You see yourself overcoming. Your faith as a seer sees victory, sees Jesus, sees triumph, sees blessings. Hallelujah. Because that's what the Word of God does. It promises great things, exceeding great and precious promises from God's word. So he'd tell him, read it again, read it again. And sometimes he said it would take him up to 30 minutes. Have him reread 1 Peter 22 until they can see it. Until they can see it, that by his stripes we were healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. So I see myself healed. I see myself whole. I see myself healed and whole from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Amen. Praise God. Glory. But some people don't have a focus. And they don't have clear vision. Faith is a seer. So here's my last thing the Lord wants me to deliver to you. Exhortation and edification here. Don't go blind. I tell you, friends, saints of God, precious people of God, even online, you know, so many people have gotten blinded. They got blinders on. They've been blinded by the pandemic. They've been blinded by the social ills and social problems and divide, racial divides in the country. They've been blinded by politics, blinded through the news media's constant barrage and propaganda. They've been blinded. Don't go blind. So the second big point is I want to where that your faith as a seer must stay clear. That means when you stop seeing clearly, then you need to stop and get your clarity back. And we're going to minister in a special way. The Lord has told me to do it because some people need to get their faith vision back. I'm not talking about your physical eyesight. I'm talking about your spiritual insight and foresight and revelation. Faith is based on knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Many people think it's just information. So they're reading this, doing this, they're going to this devotion, they're going to this book, they're going to this and that, this, that, and it's all information and have no revelation. What Adam did when he fell from the glory into sin, he fell from revelation to information. And we live in an information age, so we're all bombarded through social media, printed newspapers and stuff, all kinds of information coming at us, but it's not producing revelation. Faith is based on revelation knowledge. That means knowledge that I see, that is revealed to my spirit through the word, the spoken word, or the written word. Now, what meditation does, meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. But some people don't want to meditate in the word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy what? Mouth. But thou shalt meditate in it, how often? Day and night, so that you may observe how to do or observe to do all written therein. Some people say, well, I can't do the word. I can't but see that happening to me in the word. I can't see that happening. Well, you got to meditate in it. Meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. You got to see yourself increasing finally. You got to see yourself prospering abundantly. You got to see yourself writing out that big check, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000. You got to see it. You got to see it with the eye of your faith. So your faith vision must not go blind or get blurry, especially during these days and times, ladies and gentlemen, because there's a whole lot of flurry of stuff going on. Now, I'm going to give you several verses in the vision scripture we commonly refer to in Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to read in different versions, so I'm going to read first King James. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he who keeps the law, happy is he. That's a little blind to us sometimes because it's kind of King James English. Look at the New King James. Where there is no revelation, a little bit clearer. The people cast off restraint, but happy is the one who keeps the law. Let's look at it in New Living. Where the people do not accept divine guidance. Oh, so God's involved in this vision thing. I'm not talking about something you concoct or just wheel up in your mind. I'm talking about hearing from God. And in the context of faith, not only hearing God, but hearing a word from God that you can see coming to pass in your life. Does everybody with me now? So when the people don't accept divine guidance, they run wild. And aren't a lot of people running wild today? They're going crazy. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. See, divine guidance is when you're in a pickle, when you're in a midst of a pressurized situation, when you're in a midst of a problem, you need divine guidance. And divine guidance comes through your spirit, revelation to and through your spirit. It illuminates your mind and tells you, ha, that's what I'm supposed to be focused on. That's what I'm supposed to be believing for. This is the step I'm to take. These are the moves I am to make. Look at the Amplified book. Where there is no vision, listen to this, no redemptive revelation of God. Wow. So our focus is not on us. It's on him. The people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, is blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. And listen to the Message Bible. Listen to this. If people can't see see what God is doing. There it is right there. Do you see what God is doing to you and wants to do through you? Some people think, well, God's not working. I can't see God working. Well, you need to get back in the Word and meditate the Word. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are His what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared ahead of time before that we should walk in there. So in other words, He has a plan, Jeremiah 29, you know, I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future, not for evil, not for your disaster, not for your calamity. God says, I got a plan and I've got a pathway. I've already seen the end from the beginning. So I know where you are. I know where you're at. I know what I'm doing. I know what I want to do in your life. But I want you to see it. I want you to see it. See, if people can't see what God's doing, it says they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, what who reveals? What God reveals, then they are more blessed, most blessed. They are most blessed. Come on now, don't go blind. Tell somebody next to you, say, don't go blind. Now, let's give you a little bit more information about vision real quick as we get ready to close. Vision acts like a compass, gives significance to meaningless details in our life. Some people say, why are you doing that? Well, they're trying, a lot of times, Satan will use people unwittingly, unknowingly to them, to break your focus, to bring you distractions or disruptions to your life. The number one root cause of distractions, of breaking focus, is distractions. Get distracted with a pain, pressure, the people. So it gives in it. Why are you getting up early to pray? Why are you going through thanking God 10 times and making those 10 confessions? Because God's got me working on something. I'm seeing something. He's revealed something to me. He said, our focus on the preferred future. Vision is our focus on a preferred future. It brings order to chaos. It brings your world into focus. It is the best motivator. It's when we lose sight of what matters, you lose your motivation. So you can always tell the motivation of heart goes down. And in the military, when people went through school, air assault school, I went through those, and I worked with people who went to angel school, the only reason you got dropped from that school was lack of motivation. One of the ways you'll drop your spirit of faith and not maintain it is you lose your motivation. Vision is like the headlights on a car. The further you go, the farther you'll see. Vision is adjustable and expandable. In other words, God's word and God and work in us expands, enlarges, and extends our faith vision. So some people say, well, I got a vision just to get to be place of where I can tithe real good. That's a good starting point. But then you need to grow from there. You need to have an increase point from there where you grow to a point to where you say, well, I can be a tither and a 10% giver. Amen. You got to get a vision. I'm going to be a 20%er now. 10% tithe, 10% offering. Then you go to from 20% to 25 or 30%. I can say, well, okay, well, I can give tithe 10%, give offering 10%, and give missions 10%. And then you get up some like some of these other guys that I hear about, they 50% givers. And they didn't start when they had a lot of money. They started when they didn't have any money. But it was the preferred future that they had for their life of generosity and stewardship and prosperity. But if you don't have a vision for it, you'll just be a tipper, not a tither. If you don't have a vision for it, you'll say, I'll technically tithe, but I won't give you one dime more. I'll give you scraps and scrapes, a little bit extra. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say, preach it, Pastor. Hallelujah. Vision feeds and invokes us invokes us into passion. If you get a vision for the lost, you have a passion. You cultivate a passion for the lost. But if you don't put your faith out there for souls, you'll never see your kids come to the Lord. You got kids that gone astray or that walked away from the things of God. You'll never see it. But you got to see your kids coming back to Jesus. You got to see your strayed loved ones, your cousins, your uncles, your aunts being impacted because of the Jesus in you. You get around a family reunion or a family gathering and you say, Lord, use me because I see myself ministering to my family effectively. You have faith for that. You have vision for that. Man, this is real good. Amen. One of the tests of passion, one of the tests of our lives is a test of passion. Do we care at all that our loved ones are going to hell on a speedy track in a handbasket? Do we care at all that our neighbors may not know Jesus, and if they died today, where would they go? And we're right down the street from them. See, vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by a passion of what should be. See, direction without clear vision, you get distraction. See, when you have when you're operating in visioneering and you see with the eye of your faith, you are focused. You're laser maniacally focused on what you need to be doing and what you should be doing. You tell your flesh to shut up. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Purpose puts things into context. You also get purpose from vision. In context of vision. See, vision is the ability to see. It's the ability to see ahead. It is the unusual foresight to see what God is saying and what God is doing and what God has promised and provided. It is a transformational experience of the supernatural. This is big stuff, guys. Vision is more than looking on the bright side. It is looking on the right side. So a person without vision is a man or woman without a future. So there's three A's that come as a part of vision. Number one is awareness. You have the ability to see. Remember I told you about the example, you know, using Pastor Cynthia and then reminding Pastor Trent. She would say, everybody in the priesthood, what do you see? She was concerned about what are they seeing. Because if they don't see anything, they're not focused in their faith on anything. And see, when we assemble together as believers, we're not just coming here just to socialize. We have a spiritual assignment, alignment, and agreement to go forth in. So what you're seeing is important to the corporate context of the corporate body. What you're seeing is important to the corporate context of your family. You got to have awareness. See where we're going. Number two, the second A is attitude. It's a determined and decisive attitude to believe and trust God. So a couple gets, like this beautiful couple here I'm looking at, they say, okay, we got a problem, but they clutch hands and they connect in heart and say, we're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. In spite of the report, in spite of the bad news, we're going to trust and what? We're going to believe God. That's why faith is just not just an individual sport. It's a team sport. You need to have four crazy faith friends because everybody in here and everybody online is going to go through stuff. And you need to be able to connect up and connect out to friends who can agree and add their faith to yours. Somebody say glory to God. So you've got to have an attitude of faith. And then, of course, number three is action. Vision has the courage to do. It's a dream set on fire. See, for example, like our pray and go, if you don't see yourself being able to pray effectively over houses, strangers' houses, and if you don't see yourself going and reaching people for Christ, then you don't do it. There's never the courage to go do it. There's never the commitment to do it. Because vision produces action. Jeremiah 1:5 says, God was asking, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you as a prophet for the nations. And then he went and asked Jeremiah, what do you see? He was looking for Jeremiah's clarity. I said something so for you to see something. And when the word of God is going forth, God is saying something so that you can see something. Your faith comes by hearing, but the hearing produces your faith seeing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he asked him, what do you see? He said, I see a tree limb of an almond tree, a limb of almond tree budding. He said, you see well. Have we asked the Lord at times, how am I seeing? Oh, I'm not seeing clearly. I'm not seeing my healing. I'm not seeing my victory. I'm not seeing my family come to the Lord. Would you help me, Lord? He's a good doctor. He's a good father. Amen. Now, here's the enemy. Personal ambition is Satan's counterfeit to fuel personal success and personal satisfaction outside of God's grace, help, and goodness, and strength. In other words, if I'm only thinking about my three favorite people, we all know who that is, right? Me, myself, and I. If I've only got the radio station on WIIFM, what's in it for me? Come on now. If I'm self-centered, if I'm self-absorbed, if I'm self-serving, I will become self-sabotaging and self-defeated. Remember, the vision is not about what you want. It's about what God wants to you and through you. Now, I know corporations, and when we get companies, I was in a corporation for a number of years, they always talk about corporate vision, the vision of the company. But it's never about God. It's about the company. And when people talk about personal vision, they always talk about, well, it's about what I want, my goals in life. It's about what God, when you talk about faith vision, you're talking about what God wants. What God wants to do to create who you need to be and become and a pathway for you to do what you've been, he's called and created you to do. Last scriptures, Mark chapter 10. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, the anointing is strong right now. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some people need to get their eyesight recovered right now because they've gone blind almost. Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho, and he went out to Jericho with his disciples and great multitude of people, with a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Shut up. Shut up. We would say that today. Stop talking. You're talking out of turn. But he cried out the more in a great deal. Then, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, the English Standard Version of verse 51 says this, English ESV, "And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you?" Now, I heard the Lord say this is what he wants to ask us this afternoon. It's now 12 o'clock, a little bit. What do you want him to do for you? And like this man, the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And many this morning need to recover their faith sight and their faith vision. Because when you lose your faith sight and your vision, three things happen. Number one, we're sidelined or sidetracked in life. You're created to be on the sidelines. You're created to be in the game. You're created to be making gains for the kingdom. You're created to be growing up in Christ for the kingdom and to the glory of God. Praise God. Number two, you rely on the voices and the vision of others for direction. In other words, they were all telling him, shut up. Oh, he called on you. So you're relying on other people's voices and other people's visions for directions. Number three, you become defined by your problems. Why do they call him blind Bartimaeus? Because they defined him by his problems rather than his potential. And when you can't see with the eyes of your faith, you become defined and reconfined by your problems and never by your potential. And as we said earlier, we have to get rid of the lie, the sin, or the wound that's making us go blind. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Come on. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will confirm this word, dear Father.